Certainly a privilege once again, ladies and gentlemen, for us to be able to share, to come into the presence of a great and awesome God. We have some basic things I want to go ahead and really, this normally my message is just one page, this today it's two, because I have some overview I want to give us. The point is that on this coming Tuesday is Feast of Trumpets, and we are going to join the brethren down in Montgomery, Alabama. And so, they may, well, we don't know all who's going to cover what, but I want to make sure you get the information, so that's why I'm doing this now. I generally do that whenever I travel, so as to make sure you don't go lacking. It is critical, especially during times like now, for us, the people, to see what is going on. Things are heating up here, folks, and getting it. You know, in the days of Noah, what happened is that he was preaching for 120 years. Noah was preaching. 120 years. You know, nobody that he preached to outside his family got saved. Not one. 120. And you think, boy, yeah, I mean, after all that time, but that's all it was, 120. All right, and you wonder, oh, what happened? Well, the bottom line is that they didn't listen, and God ended up having to drown them. You'll be with them at another time, but I'm just showing you the seriousness of some things, that everybody understand it. You know, I was talking to my brother in New York a couple of years ago, and he said, you know, one mistake can kill you. One mistake can kill you. And we have to be circumspect in regards to how we approach the Lord. Now, God established a system for us to organize our time. You know, he gives us what I call a slice of life. It's for a period of time. And he sets aside appointed times, or the Bible calls them Sabbaths, for us to regulate our movement and work. He set it aside. Our goal, now remember now, our goal, what is our goal? Our goal is to be in the kingdom of God, reigning and ruling with Jesus. That's our goal. I know there's a lot of people who think he just want to go to heaven. They misunderstand what the Bible is teaching altogether. He has called us and he's training us now, so judgment begins at the house of God. And so he's saying to us, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to govern our life a certain way. So this offer, what is the offer? The offer is for those who obey him, not for everybody, only those who obey him. But what about those here and the one of this big, have a lake of fire coming for them? It's not the errors only, but the doers that are going to be justified. So in this message, ladies and gentlemen, I want to convey this information to you. Please don't miss this. If you, for whatever reason, the recording is going to be online, I would like for you to go back and study it some more, because this is a lot. It's in-depth. And if you haven't heard this stuff before, or any of this before, it might be a challenge to you, but I guarantee if you go back and study and meditate on it and read the scripture, you will see it work out just fine. In this message, we're going to focus on the fall feast, which begins in a few days. So the Folks' Feast, but in particular, Feast of Trumpets. Now, let me just give you a little background here. Because all holy days corresponds to a milestone in God's master plan, his great plan. All holy days. So you see why we associate, I want you to see as we finish, why we associate the Feast of Trumpets with the return of Jesus Christ. all the holy days, including the weekly Sabbaths, as relevance to God's master plan. And so, you know, in whatever year that he's going to come, we can conclude, since he's always on time, that on the Feast of Trumpets he's going to return. And we look at a lot of scriptures shortly to make sure we get that. Now, you know, let me see. The older days, you know, were teaching and for admonition, but they're also to offer sacrifices. Now, you and I, we don't offer sacrifice anymore. Jesus Christ was the last sacrifice, but we now come as living sacrifice. I want you to notice now, what is a sacrifice? Sacrifice is something that you burn up, you consume. You give it in, somebody said, this is a sacrifice. It means it is more than you generally can afford. It's a sacrifice. You're sacrificing it. You're missing out on something else because of this. One of the reasons why the people under the old covenant stopped giving animal sacrifice was because they didn't realize it, but they were becoming poor. Now, you sacrifice because you sin, and God was teaching them that sin is expensive, but some didn't get the message. So they'd be like, well, there's no bother to give up sacrifice. And they end up in worse condition. So what I am saying now, we are now living sacrifices. We're going to go in detail about this on another time, but I want you to recognize that now. So today, what are we coming as? We're a living sacrifice. We're sacrificing our life to Jesus Christ. We're sacrificing actually to the Father in the presence of Jesus Christ. All right? You know, the instructions are then for us to what? Become living sacrifices. Are you with me now, folks? Let's go on a little further. We're entering a period of time. I'm talking about the days in which we're living now. That represented by the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, and the last great day. People say, well, what is going on? I'm telling you, these days are being fulfilled right before our eyes. Sometimes you hear the expression, I hear it on the radio, well, everybody's going crazy. Well, in a sense, they are, because they are not offering the sacrifices that they should. Consequently, they're being turned, you know, every way upside down because of the demons. That people don't understand it. I am telling you, folks, what we're seeing now is paradise compared to what is coming. So we need to make sure we get our house in order. All right, let's talk about going a little further. So we're going to focus on Feast of Trumpets and its meaning. Now, there are trumpets. This is a metaphorical statement. Now, there are trumpets blowing. Well, what does the purpose of a blowing of a trumpet mean? Well, it's to get our attention. They make an announcement. They come into a town and they blow the trumpet. Everybody stand to attention. What's going on? What happened? Well, the king has made a decree or whatever announcement they make. There's a blowing of trumpets. All right. Well, here it is on Wednesday and Tuesday. We're going to have the blowing of trumpets. And God is making an announcement to the world, but most of the world not paying attention. Most of the world is not paying attention, folks. It is for us. Don't worry about them. It is for us. All right? So what I am saying is that these trumpets are blowing. And it means that we should plan, prepare, and occupy until Jesus comes. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you hear any sounds of the trumpet? Do you see anything unusual happening around us? People just all of a sudden get killed or being killed, or people just doing strange things, stuff with the weather and so on, because it's going to intensify some more. And I think it's tomorrow or Monday, I'm going to need to go double check. They're talking about the blood moon is going to come. There's going to be a blood moon. It's a very unusual appearance where the moon looks like blood. It means God is saying something to the whole world. So he put it up there in the moon. so the people can see it. Blood moon, that's what they call it. You look it up, you'll begin to see what I'm talking about. All right? And so I am saying now without worry, because we know with one true God, and he's with us. But he's still giving a warning to the world, and to some extent through us. And so I am saying the trumpets are blowing, and are you prepared? Will you be ready when Jesus returns? 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's go ahead and look at this, please. 2 Peter chapter 1 says in verse 3, according to his divine power has given unto us all things. So whatever it is you need for him to accomplish the task, the assignment he has given you, he has already given it to you, not giving you no more. He has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. He has called us to what? To glory and virtue. And so I am saying in verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceedingly precious promises. He says great, let me make sure I'm saying it right, great and precious promises, that by these promises you might be partakers of the divine nature. We are developing a divine nature. We should be. You shouldn't be the same way you were last week and the week before. Every week is supposed to be going further. The people who are not growing don't realize they're preparing themselves for the lake of fire. That's not good. I'm making it plain, blunt, so people understand, because a lot of people think they know Jesus and they don't realize Jesus was the God of the Old Testament. He's the one who burned all of the people up. He's the same one who made all these laws. He is the physical manifestation of this. All right? And so he said, you know, you can read this in your own time, but you should have knowledge to it and so on, virtue and so on, temperance and that kind of stuff, go on. But verse 9 says, but he that lack these things, anybody who can't get this, who don't understand or are in agreement, they make you that you dwell, you shall neither be, but he that lack these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Here it is, God give you an opportunity to develop and walk and talk and act like him, and you abandon it to go follow the world's way. What a foolish decision. What a confused way of thinking, but a lot of people are doing that. That's how people end up leaving the church. That's how they end up stop walking with God. But verse 10 says, because you see the responsibility is with us. Verse 10, loud and clear. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence or be diligent to make your calling and election sure. Who's going to make it sure? You have to do that, not God. He called you. It's up to you if you respond. He got a lake of fire for all those who don't respond. And I'm saying to you, you don't have to be in the lake of fire. You can be with him and reign and rule with him. But you have to do it. You have to make that decision. You have to abandon your bad ways and your confused viewpoint and sacrifice all that, burn it up on the altar, and come to him in total repentance. If you do what I'm telling you, he says the last second clause, you shall never fail. But why are you so confident? Because he said, if I do these things, so just make sure you do it. And then you shall never fail. All right? Let's press through, ladies and gentlemen, because we've got a lot more to cover. Leviticus, the 23rd chapter. I'm not going to take time to go into it now. We're going to drill down a little later. But it lists all the feast days, the fall days, the spring holidays, all of them. It lists the weekly Sabbath, too. See, God was giving us an overall plan. Remember I said, holy days are appointed times. They represent milestone in the plan of salvation. What have been fulfilled so far? The Passover. What else? The days of unleavened bread. What else? Pentecost, that's Feast of Weeks. What is left to be fulfilled? Trumpets. That's the return of Jesus Christ, Day of Atonement, the reconciliation of mankind with God, and then the Feast of Tabernacles, where a whole lot of people are going to come to Jesus during the millennium. We'll talk about that as we go along. And then the last great day, for those who didn't get it for whatever reason, they're going to be given an opportunity. They're going to come back to life, and God is going to deal with them. Now, what I am saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, is that you and I are being prepared to rule with Christ. And we are anticipating, looking forward to the coming of our Messiah to take over the whole world. No, listen, we can't do it. Yes, we're doing a lot, but we can't do it. He's going to come and finish it. He's going to run the last leg. He started it out, and he's going to finish it. Somebody turn to Mark chapter 1, verse 1 for me, please. And then somebody read verse 14. Mark chapter 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to notice now. What does gospel mean again? Good news. The beginning, it starts out, he's telling you. Verse 1.
The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
All right, so that's the beginning. Look at verse 14. What did he say?
He says, after John was put in prison, Jesus went to Galilee, proclaimed the good news of God.
All right, modern, the King James Version and some of the versions, not modern, for just words. But the King James says, he comes preaching the good news, or you might say announcing the good news of the kingdom of God. What was he trying to tell them? That there is going to come a kingdom on earth. It's not going to be left to other people. God is going to be in charge of it, and we can be a part of it. That's the good news. It's not going to be left. You know, folks keep talking about AI going to take over. They don't read the Bible. That's why they talk like that. Jesus is going to take over. And so we are going to reign and rule with him. Revelation 20 verse 4. Alright? So what I'm saying now, ladies and gentlemen, is that everyone who hears this good news of the kingdom of God and believe it and make a quality decision to accept him, they're going to receive that salvation. They'll be rewarded with eternal life. Now, Zechariah, the 14th chapter, gives us a challenge that we want to make sure we read it. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 16. Here is something I want you to get to your end. It says, it shall come to pass. Now, the Bible is speaking. It's going to happen whether we like it or not. It shall come to pass. What is going to come to pass? Let's look at it. It shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem. So people are going to fight against Jesus. They're going to fight against Jerusalem. He's going to annihilate them. He's going to melt off the flesh off their face. He's going to kill so many. Blood is going to be, up to the horse's bridle. It says it's about this high off ground. What's that, about 4 feet high? You're going to have blood, all that like that. Millions of people are going to die. Who's killing them? Jesus. They came against him. And when he's coming back, he's not going to put up with any foolishness. And so it says, everyone that is left, because only a few people are going to left on earth.
You can travel sometime a 1,000 miles, you won't see nobody.
Why? Because everybody else dead. He that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles.
You got a lot of people now who are cocky, some are arrogant, some plus plain silly, don't know that we should keep the feast days. And so they decide, well, we don't have to. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Everybody who won't listen, who left on planet Earth, they're going to come to keep the feast. After they're told, and they don't listen, well, guess what? No rain. Look at verse, let's read on. And it shall be, verse 17, whosoever will not come of all the families of the earth, I'm Muslim, I don't have to listen to this, or whatever, Confucius, or Hindu, or whatever that religion they come up with. That's what I am. So I don't, well, let me tell you something, Charlie. Of everybody who is left, of all these nations which come against Jerusalem, even though they're going to go from year to year, everyone who's left, who come out of all the families of the earth on the Jerusalem,
to worship the king, the Lord of hosts. And if the family, verse 18 of Egypt, Egypt means
those who are against God, that's all that means.
Those who left the families of Egypt, who go not up, that have not, they have no rain, there shall, that shall be the plague wherein the Lord will make, will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the feast.
Those who don't want to listen, don't want to worship on the Sabbath, now we're going to make our own day. You're going to cut off the food supply. You're going to learn some lessons real fast. That's what's going to happen. After he comes and start to set up the kingdom of God. A lot of things are going to happen so fast. A lot of people are going to, you know, want it. Because listen, you're not going to have that much food left on earth. You're going to have very few people. People are going to be shaken up. Because of a lot of things that are happening before all what I just described here. But you and I are living through this thing. So I am saying to you now, who are the ones who are going to be in this? Who are going to be dwelling on his holy hill, as he says in the Psalms? Those who are doers of the word. James chapter 1, verse 22. James, the first chapter, and verse 22. Do not be hearers only. Chapter 1 and verse 22 says, be ye doers of the word. He's encouraging us. Be doers of the word and hear, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Be a doer of the word. In other words, do what it says. A lot of people are not doing it. That's why you have the churches helter-skelter, just half-baked. That's why that's happening. And they're not doing it. So he said, be a doer of the word and not just hear what it says, because you're deceiving your own selves if you don't do what it says. So I'm encouraging you, ladies and gentlemen, every chance you get, do what it says. All right? Let's go on a step further. So how does God expect us then to accomplish this? How do you expect us to walk with him, to do what we do of the word? Well, he has given us an outline in the scriptures. And that's what the Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, is all about. He has set aside appointed times, which we, you know, when we should assemble, when we should come before him. Now you can read that. I'm going to leave that as an assignment to you, Leviticus, the 23rd chapter. But he has set aside certain time, and we need to study it, learn of his ways. He has ordained teachers to help feed us, like I am drilling down today. You're going to see, as I guarantee, there are some things here that we haven't touched on in a while. And so we're learning these things, and we're going to assemble just like he says. That's why we're doing it this Tuesday. We're getting ready, and I've told all those who are listening, be prepared. Come Monday night, sundown, until sundown Tuesday, that's a holy day. It's a Sabbath. It's the Feast of Trumpets. What does it represent? The return of Jesus Christ. All right, we'll talk more about it as we go along. So again, these appointed times, seven annual Sabbaths, and then the weekly Sabbath. So you have eight all in all together. All right? They are set aside for a purpose. You ever wonder why the folks who don't keep the Sabbath have a confused view of what the kingdom of God is and what Jesus is going to do? Yes, they do have some things right, but they're not going to get the very best. All right, let's take it a step further. So you set aside these appointed times, which, you know, in the Bible they refer to them as the Moedim. And I want us to notice Isaiah chapter 2. All right? Now we read this a lot when we go to the Feast of Tabernacles. Isaiah chapter 2. It shall come to pass. I can quote it verbatim because I've read it so many times. But it shall come to pass in the last days. That's the times in which you and I are living. And the moment this Jesus comes now, it ends. last days continue, but he's in charge now. It shall come to pass, verse 2, in the last days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountain. The mountain there represents country. God's country is going to be Israel, and it's going to be more important than the other nations. All right? It was said important in the sense that they are chosen. Let's put it that way. All right? Not that they're better than other people. And, you know, he's going to establish his kingdom. That mountain, wherever he goes, is going to be exalted above the hills. So it's going to be the number one country. Now today, everybody's coming to the United States. It's the number one country. Well, it's going to be nothing compared to Israel. At the top of the current day Israel, that's Judah. They're primarily the descendants of Judah. But I'm talking about the nation of Israel that God is going to set up, just like he set up one before when they left Egypt. All right? And many people, verse 3, shall go come and say, let us go up to the mountain, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. So many people are going to hear about this now and say, man, we need to go up there. Let's send the kids up there so they can learn. In fact, let us go ourselves, and we go up there and he teach us of his ways. For out of Zion, or Jerusalem, shall go forth the teachings, or the law, as it says, and the word of the Lord also. Because you're going to get other information besides just the spiritual knowledge. It's going to go forth from Jerusalem. Are you with me now, folks? So I am saying now, this is what is going to happen when the kingdom of God is established on earth. But in order for this to take place, folks, there are some other things that need to be done before that. All right? You know, in our dispensation, ladies and gentlemen, the times in which you and I are living, he sends out preachers to go with the good news. That's part of our assignment. He's sending out preachers. And Romans, the 10th chapter, let's turn to it quickly. Romans chapter 10 has some information to help share with, you know, illuminate your minds. You begin to see what I am talking about. Romans chapter 10 and verse, let's see, 16. Let's see, make sure. Because I did this by memory. All right, verse 10, really. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10 picks up and says, what scripture does that show? Let's go back to 15. Verse 14 says, how shall they call upon him? In other words, people. How can anybody call upon Jesus if they haven't heard about him? If they haven't heard the good news, how can they call? We're calling. People are being called. No, not we. Jesus is. And so they have to hear the news. How? We preach to them. That's why we have to go with the good news. How can they call upon him if they have not, how can they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe if they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? That's verse 14. How shall they preach except they are sent? So God is sending out preachers, and the preachers go out and tell the people about the good news. That's part of what we are doing week after week, month after month, year after year. Our lifestyle is also a part of it. That's why you can't live like everybody else, because even our lifestyle make a difference. Did you know even the clothes you wear? You ever look into, go back and Leviticus and Deuteronomy and see how God talk about what kind of clothes the ministers must wear? Is that explicit? Every little thing counts. And so what I am saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, is that here it is. This preaching is going out, the good news, and that is why that's how things are during this dispensation. Why do we keep the Sabbath on the holy days? Well, we are walking epistle. We are assembling as God has commanded us to do the things, have good, you know,
and commanded us. So when we are studying his word, we're acting out the plan of salvation. That's what we're doing. That is why we who do the things of God have a good understanding. Psalm 110, verse 111, verse 10. A good understanding of all they that do his commandment. A lot of people say, well, you know, you don't have to keep the commandment. They will never have a good understanding. Can they get some? Yes, but not much. So that's why we're doing these things, ladies and gentlemen. Those who abandon God's command cannot see clearly. They cannot see the way forward. They are indecisive, you know, and they are unsure of what to do, where to go, what, you know, what the end result will be. The way to peace, the Bible says, they will not know. Isaiah 59, verse 8. Somebody read that for me loud and clear. Because the way to peace, they will not know. But for we who obey the Lord, he shall appear with healing in his wings. Isaiah 59, verse 8, please. All right. You get it?
The way of peace, they do not know. There is no justice in their path.
All right, so the way to peace, thank you, the way to peace, they will not know. They abandon the way. They won't do what he says. I tell people over and over, just come and sit in the meetings. Just come and sit down. You don't have to say anything, don't do anything, just come and sit down. Because if you pay attention, over a while you're going to see that blessing is going to start to flow upon you. I have not seen any who come and obey what I'm saying who don't get blessed. The presence, remember I said initially, who are here with us this morning? What do we have here with us? A lot of angels. Some of them are assigned to you. They can't operate because you won't do right. But if you do right, then they will be able to fulfill their task, because they will not change from whatever they are assigned to do. That's it. They do very simple things, but they do it real good, real fast. They don't do a lot of different things. They just work things that they are designed to do, nothing else. All right, that's a different teaching, but we'll talk more about that at some other time. So what I am saying is that those who don't get it, I don't know if I mentioned, but let's go ahead and mention it again. We were at a crusade some years ago. There were no seats around. And my aunt said to me, "Why are you sitting?" And I said, "Well, we have no seats." She said, "Follow me." And my wife and the kids, we started following her. And some of the folks saw us. They just started to come with us too. They said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I don't know, we're following my aunt." And they follow us. And guess what? She go to the head usher and said, "That's my nephew and his wife and kids. Go ahead and can you give him some seats?" They said, "Yes." And they had some special seats way up front. They take us up there. Now, we sat there. That lady who was with us, she got part of the blessing too. She got seat up there. Now, there was a super usher. I call her a super usher because she wasn't there. But she came afterwards and saw us and told us, I mean, she was very furious, trying to tell us to get up, get up. This is for special people. And I'm thinking, I'm special? But I didn't say that to her. I was thinking that. My aunt saw what was happening. She come and said, "You sit right there. The head man tell you to sit." Boy, she raised sing, that little usher. She just raised a lot of sing. Well, the head man came and he saw what was happening. He pointed to her and said, "Come to me." I don't know what he said to her, but when she left, she was grumbling. "Really, you're supposed to be for special people." No, he told us to sit there. The man who is in charge tell us to sit there. So you're free. Well, that's the expression. If the sun sets you free, you're free indeed. Now, I'm trying to illustrate something, though. That lady who was about her business, who couldn't find no seat, didn't have nobody there, she just knows. And she come and get special seat way up front. We had about 4 or 5 seats before us and the evangelist. That was up on the stage. I mean, that was the special area that cordoned off that area. That's where we were. Now, I'm saying that lady, though, she got some by what? Associating with us.
That's the way it is in the spirit realm. He that walk with wise men shall be what? Wise. You associate with these things. Those who associate with us at the church, the blessings will flow on them. What else flow on them also? Yes, there's something else. Judgment. That's why I tell people, no, you can't fool around here. Judgment will come upon you. Judgment begins at the house of God. And so people need to understand this. If you're not for real, you don't stay after a while. But for those who are for real, God is going to bless them. But if you want to, just stay, associate. And you're going to find the power of fellowship will multiply the seeds that you sow so that you can receive abundantly. All right? Let's take it a step further. So I am saying then, ladies and gentlemen, these folks who won't do what God says, they cannot find their way. But for those who obey, Jesus will come with healing in his wings. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. So Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18 illustrates the same thing. Let me just read that. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. It says, let's see. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. That's wisdom. And happy is everyone that retains her. Happy is that verse 3, chapter 3. Oh, that's one fitting real good. Yeah, that's interesting. But verse chapter 4, verse 18 says, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. You follow the right way, it's going to get brighter and brighter to a perfect day. Things are going to get better for you. It's going to continue to improve. All right? Now, what I've just given you, ladies and gentlemen, is the overview of the Feast of Trumpets. Let's just jump in now and try to drill down and get some structure with regards to what we're doing. Because time and the blowing of trumpets is critical. The blowing of trumpets, what did I say again? Trumpet mean what? Well, it means the announcement of something that is very important. So Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, talks about it. Now let's go to chapter 23 of Leviticus and read some specifics about it in verse, starting with verse 23. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. So we're going to go to Leviticus 23 and go to verse 23. The Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. That's what's coming up this coming Tuesday. The Jews who understand this portion, they still blow their shofar. You'll hear them all over the place. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, that's verse 24 now, in the first day of the month shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. So that's what it is, ladies and gentlemen. And what I am trying to convey to you folks is that you're going to have a blowing of trumpets. They were just going to go blow the trumpet. Well, what does that mean? Why not just blow a horn? Well, you could, but at that time they used trumpets. All right? Let's go to Numbers chapter 10. Let me see if I find it quickly, because I didn't zero in on it. Numbers chapter 19, Leviticus Numbers, and I should really know this. Let's go to chapter 10. All right, Numbers chapter 10, verse 2 says, make you two trumpets of silver of
of a whole piece shall you make them. So it's one continuous thing. Shall you make them? All the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow with one trumpet, so it was going, they're going to use it now to convey certain information. If they blow with one trumpet, then the princes which are heads of the thousands of the Israel shall gather themselves unto you. When you blow an alarm, then the camp shall lie on the east part, shall go forward. So they go in and they use the trumpet then, as you can begin to see, to signify who does what when. Are you with me? So they're making an announcement. They're telling you before, when you hear the trumpet, this is what you do. And when they blow, they have different ways to make it sound, different duration. And when the one that's going to sound when Jesus comes, is going to blow for a long time. A long time. That's going to be the last trumpet. We'll see the scripture in a minute. But I'm saying to you now, the trumpets signify the sound, certain things, and they tell you beforehand what it is. But what does overall mean? Practice listening to trumpets, because he's going to make announcements. That's what that means. So that's what you should get from this, in addition to the details as to what they mean, all right, or what they signify. Now, in the 29th chapter, let me make sure I'm telling you correctly. Yes, chapter 29 of Numbers. Numbers 29. And what's this? 23, 7, 8, 9. And verse 1 says, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have holy convocation, you shall do no servile work. It is the day of blowing of trumpets unto the Lord. So the first day again of the seventh month. Start sundown Monday evening, all day Tuesday. All right? Verse 2. And you shall offer a burnt offering for a sweet savor unto the Lord. One ram, one bullock and one ram, and seven lambs of the first year without blemish. So everything must be what? Without blemish. In other words, they are spotless. You're supposed to do this. Remember I said it's expensive. Now those who practice doing what he says, he's going to bless them so much that they can more than provide for them. Those who withhold it, they end up lacking. Verse 3. And their meat shall be of four mingled flour and a mingled oil, 3 tenth deals for a bullock and 2 tenth deals for a ram. So they come in what looks like we would call like little, what do you call that stuff when you're making your roll? The muffin flour, almost like a roll, you know, almost like that. And that's how they would offer this. And the goat for a sin offering. My point though is that they were supposed to do this and also have a blowing of trumpets. Now remember I said, we don't have to offer physical sacrifices anymore. Why? What's the answer?
Jesus came.
Jesus was the last sacrifice. All right? Now, and everybody understands that. That's why they're going to reinstitute sacrifice down the road. Now, continue. In Revelation, the 8th chapter, I want us to begin to see what is happening, personally. Revelation chapter 8, because we're going to read more again about what? That's right, trumpets. So what we find, ladies and gentlemen, is that when the seventh angel with the seven trumpets, well, let's go back. Verse 1. When he had opened the seventh seal, remember there were seven seals in the book of Revelation, right? This is number 7. So when it opened, it becomes seven trumpets.
and then they're going to sound in each turn. Are you with me now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The seventh one is the last one, right? When the last one sound, that's when Jesus come through the sky. All right?
But notice now, they are not use of trumpets. So, verse 1 says, when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having the golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints. And which, you know, up on the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came up with the prayers, that was it represents, ascended up before God, verse 5. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire and so on. Verse, and lightning come up on the earthquake on the earth. Verse 6. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. What are they going to sound?
One by one. Are you with me now, folks? The seven angels are going to sound their trumpet. All right? But notice now, what are they sounding? Not your horn. You know, not a speaker. Is sounding trumpets. All right,
so here it is throughout the Bible, and I'm trying to make sure you understand this. Trumpets signify announcements for us to get our house in order, so to speak, tell us important things. That's basically what it means. And so God is putting this on his overall plan. There are trumpets in it. All right. So that's what we're beginning to see here, and let me see if I see where it says the fifth angel. So they went on, the sixth angel sounded in chapter 9, and let's see, the seventh angel in chapter 11, Revelation 15, and the seventh angel sounded, then they were given us voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. So once they sound that, now they make an announcement.
We're taking over the whole world. That's it. Sound that trumpet, then they made an announcement. Check your attention, sound the trumpet, then an announcement. You see a trumpet, there's going to be an announcement. Are you with me now, folks? Feast of trumpets. All right?
Continue. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want us to make sure we get it. That's why I'm taking the time to do this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 52. What does it say? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that's how we're going to be changed, at the last trump.
Well, we don't talk like that in modern language. We're just at the last blowing of the last trumpet. That's what we mean. At the last trump. When I said there were seven, the last one, that's when we changed instantly. We're not going to change before Jesus made the announcement. And so we rise up to go meet him. Are you with me now?
All right. Let's take it a step further. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. There was a statement made. Most people might read over it, but let's go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14. It says, and God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. All right, so he set these things in motion, and there shall be for signs, times and seasons and days and years and so on. Now, some people might argue and say, well, you know, we don't have to do this. But let me ask you, why you keep a clock? Why you keep a watch? They're for time. They alarm it at a certain time.
You
what time? You know, you got there 1 hour late. You out of touch. You said meet you at 11 o'clock, and you turn up 3. Well, I don't believe in time. Okay, fine. You're there by yourself. The man with the money gone. Why you believe in payday since the days no matter? Almost everybody I know, you know,
it's sometimes you can get over it and forget it. But almost everybody I know, they recognize payday. The day is just like every other day, but they can set aside for a certain purpose. And people have a different demeanor on that day. Get their paycheck. And of course, there's money in the bank. You get the idea? So I'm saying that all these signs and so on, they are important. And it is up to us now to get hold of it. Now, how did they use the instruments, the trumpet in Israel? Because remember now, Israel is the example, they're the guinea pig, so we're piggybacking off that. All right, let's take it a step further. Well, first it was a symbol of the final regathering of Israel when the Messiah comes. So that's what we just read about with the last trump. But there's another reason for it, because it's a symbol of the resurrection of the dead. Remember the trumpet's gonna sound, and the what? The dead Christ shall rise. Trumpets again. Now there's a third thing which we probably haven't looked over. Everybody turn to Revelation. The 20th chapter, please. I want you to see this with your own eyes. Revelation chapter 20. Because most people overlook this, and I think I've preached this only once in the past 4 years. Revelation chapter 20, let's just pick up the story starting verse 11, just so it flows smoothly. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose the face of the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. He saw this great white throne. And verse 12 says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Now, notice what is being opened. Books. What do you do with books? You write things down. There's a recording being made. In the early days, we have the idea of books. We have tape recorded on it, I don't like that back then. But the point is that there was a record made. When Jesus comes, they might have been something more sophisticated than what we have now, but my point is that there's going to be some record. And so he says, the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. So you have several books, and one of them is the book of life. Who are the people that's going to be in the kingdom? They are in that book. You're going to be in that book if you continue to do what he says. The books were open. What else did they open up? Well, they opened another book to look to see what kind of work you've been doing. You know, you have a lot of people who are Christians. Never said a word about Jesus to nobody. Don't give no tithe or offering to the work of God. They don't pray for one another. They're not involved. And I'm saying to you, a record is being made. The books are open. And the book of life, the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. Yes, there's going to be assessment in what you have done. What is documented about the things that we have done. And we're judged out of those things which were written in the books. According to their works. That's how they're going to get your reward. According to your works. Some people don't have no works. Well, they're going to be... You know, I heard this gentleman said it some year ago. He said, they're going to be poor people in heaven. Well, he doesn't really understand the full story, but I understand what he means. Because some people are not doing anything for Jesus. There's nothing to give them credit for. They're sloppy. They're slow. They don't really care.
Every chance we get, ladies and gentlemen, you want to do something for the Lord. And so they were judged out of this. The dead and the hell, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. The capacity to die is going to be cast into the lake of fire. Now, this is after the white throne judgment period. Now, remember I said to you time and time again, we are being judged now. So, finally, what he's going to give us is just a reward. Judgment begins where? At the house of God. Judgment is on us now. So, well, things are tough, yes. He's toughening you up. After a while, when you get older, following the walk with him, it becomes easy. But you're being judged now. Well, they're lying on me. They're going to tell lies on you, just like they did for Jesus. Don't lose sight of that. Don't worry about that. You keep your eyes on him and do what he tells you. And those three categories here, what about the other people, the ones who won't pay attention? Yes, there's a note made of them. And I wish I had more time to talk more about this, but I want you to begin to understand what I'm saying now. Give me another few more minutes so we go ahead and clean up some stuff, because I want you to make sure you understand this thing. The books are being recorded in right now. In Hebrews, it talk about keepers. Who are they? The angels. Keepers, yes. They're looking at us everywhere we go. They don't say a word, but they go with you. They go with you and they write everything you do, they write it down. What did Jesus say when he was, Genesis 18, he's going on to Sodom? I'm going to go down there and look for myself to see if it is like the report that has come to me. Who sent the report? The angels. They go throughout the earth, watch everything we do. They record everything we do, everything, good or bad. And so what I'm saying then is that we now know, because he tells us, do these things and you shall never fail. So you don't have to worry. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Make your call and election sure. It's up to you. When we come celebrating the Feast of Trumpets on Tuesday, we're celebrating Jesus coming back to set up the kingdom, not with half-baked cakes and people who can't follow instructions, but people who are eager to see the kingdom of God all over the earth. We are supposed to be anticipating this and be expecting it. And so this is all a part of it. Now, let's go a little further, ladies and gentlemen, and pick up some more examples quickly. Psalm 81 and verse 3. I am saying to you that God records these things, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, for us to be able to read and just get hold of, you know, just of how to conduct ourselves. And 81 verse 81 verse 3. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the appointed time, on our solemn feast day. They were supposed to do that. The blowing of trumpets was to get the people again. The new moon, what they used to do back then, what was the purpose of the new moon? They didn't have calendar like we have now. This is the beginning of the month. They blow the trumpet, the blue moon. And so, you know, Brother Stephen, he has services in that day. Yes, Lee, yes, he does right now.
But
yes, in this case, yes. In the new moon, in the time appointed, in our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel and a law of God of Jacob. That's Psalm 81, verse 3 and 4. What am I saying again? It was a reminder, a rehearsal for the people to understand how it works. We'll pick up the few more quickly. Nehemiah, the 8th chapter. Because I want us to make sure we understand what is going on, ladies and gentlemen. We need to know Nehemiah chapter 8. That's it right here. Yes.
verse 1 says, the people gathered themselves together as one man in the street that was before the water tower. And verse 2 says, and Ezra the priest brought the law which was before the congregation, before both of men and women, and all that could hear and understand, he bring it there. And verse 3, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. You see, they come together now, and they just read. This is what they will do. That's what they did. All right? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 6. All right. Let's see. Colossians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13 says, I would not have you ignorant. Paul don't want the Thessalonians to be ignorant, neither does he want us to be ignorant. See, he's writing it down. Here it is. What does he say? I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that we sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and again rose again, so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. How is he going to bring with them? They're going to rise up to meet him ahead of us. For this we say by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain at the coming of his of the Lord shall not prevent them, they're going to rise up before us, which are asleep, and for the Lord shall descend from heaven with the shout of an archangel, with the trump of God. What's going to sound again? That trumpet. There you go. All right, let's pick up, I have two more, this is great, tell you. In the seven seals, in fact, we covered those already. The seventh seal, book of Revelation tells you about it, where we just start in chapter 8 and read it earlier. Of the seven seals, and the seal number 7 again was the seven trumpets, so that's how it was used. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, 58, verse 52 says, at the last trump. I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, this is how trumpet was used in the Bible. That is to make announcement. That is how God is using it, is the overall plan of salvation. Whenever you come to a holy day, it is a demarcation of his overall plan of salvation. Every holy day have something. The weekly Sabbath, like today, it means the millennial reign of Christ. 6 days shall work be done. 6 days mankind do what we do. The seventh day, who's going to rule? Jesus. For 1,000 years. That's where that comes from. The Bible says elsewhere for 1,000 years. But the point is that approximately 6,000 years for us, where we free to follow him or not, those who choose are going to be reigning with him. And then he's going to take over set up the kingdom of God. Last at least 1,000 years, actually it's going to be more, and then it's going to expand to the whole universe, right? So this is the whole overall plan, ladies and gentlemen. I want us to make sure we understand this thing. So I want us to go ahead and just to remind you that you have heard me just talk about the blowing of trumpets. Again, announcements. What is the announcement? The number one announcement is that Jesus is coming back. You heard the announcement, but that's number one, all right? In addition, the choice is yours. Everyone who is hearing my voice now, you should make your call on election. Sure, I can't make it sure for you. You have to make it for him. You need to understand the protocol. Well, what do you do? Go study the scripture. You have doubts? Let me know. I'll speak with you and help share it for you so you understand more. It is your choice. This is the good news that Jesus brought to this earth. So I'll see you in the kingdom. Thank you so much for listening.